Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Talking just a little bit further about the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's say He's powerful. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is powerful, right? Powerful to do what? A lot of things, right? We could even say this way, about whatever needs to be done. How many of you know He has the power to do it? It says here, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Everybody say witnesses. Witnesses. Here's what's interesting about that word. It's a word that we understand pretty well when we hear about somebody that witnessed something. Maybe they witnessed Old Faithful blowing, and so they're able to give a detailed maybe story of what they witnessed. Maybe somebody witnessed a crime, and we would call that person, if they witnessed the crime, the legal world may call that person to come and go before the jury and talk about what they saw, what they witnessed. But here's what's interesting about a witness. There's a double-edged sword with it. So let's talk about for just a moment a person that was a witness of a crime. So being or having witnessed a crime, if it's such that there's a trial, let's just pretend that there is. So they would be called upon to talk about what they've seen. You know, they would be questioned and then cross-examined, you know, with, you know, whatever. But how many of you know then something else comes into the picture about what they witnessed? The other thing that comes into the picture is who they are. Are you with me? In other words, if they're a person of great character, then guess what? Their witness of what they saw carries what? It carries weight. It carries a great amount of weight. In other words, if somebody has a character, has strong, which is entirely independent of what they saw, right? But if they have a strong character, the lawyers and the judge and the jury would tend to believe what they had to say based upon their character. The same holds true for us as Christians. Isn't that right? Our character is another way of saying our witness. So it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. So there's a twofold thing that the power of the Holy Spirit does as He resides on the inside of us. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he says, know you not that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are not your own, you've been bought with a price. So here's one thing that the Holy Spirit will do in us, is the Holy Spirit will reveal God. The Holy Spirit will take the word when we have maybe something that we would call a devotional time or whatever it may be. How many of you know the Holy Spirit will show us things that we can witness about God? From that, we then can tell others about what we've witnessed. But how many of you know our character, which you could also say who you are, is almost, if not even more so, important than what you saw. Does that make sense? In other words, if somebody doesn't have the character to back up the things that they, quote, have seen about God, we call that hypocrisy. Right? And what does that do to people in the world? Those people that are in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What does it do? They just blow us off. They don't put any credibility into anything that we say. The power of the Holy Spirit will not only show, reveal, uncover things about God that we can actually witness, but the Holy Spirit will also, I believe this, the Holy Spirit will also help us to develop the kind of character so that what we witness has validity. Does that make sense? In other words, we all need the Holy Spirit to help us live a godly life. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit to live a life and lead a life that brings honor and glory to Him. Without His help, it's going to be really difficult for any one of us to be strong in every area of life. For instance, there's some people that just by their character, they don't even know God, but they're just not inclined to lie. It's just not in them. That's just not where they go. But then there's other people. So in that area, they may be strong, but there may be another area of life. Maybe they succumb to temptation over and over again, but they're strong in the area of lying. They don't have a propensity to lie, but in another area, they're just weaker than all get out. Somebody else may just lie like a rug. Right? I mean, it seems like when every time they open their mouth, things just aren't the way it was. But they may be very strong in the area of certain aspects of some temptation. They may be very strong that way. So all left to ourselves, none of us are going to be strong in every area of life. It's just going to be impossible. We're just going to have some areas because we're human, because we're flesh, because we're carnal. And certainly without the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we're just left to our own strength to be able to withstand or to be able to do this, that, or the other. We need the help of the Holy Spirit of God to build our character so that when we do open up our mouth as a witness of who God is, it carries some validity to it. There's something that can back it up. Have you ever heard this phrase? Is there some people's gift will take them where their character can't keep them? You ever heard a phrase like that? Well, let me say it again so you can think about it. Some people's gifts will take them where their character can't keep them. Look in the arts and you'll see that huge. Somebody may have an incredible gift of music, can sing like an angel, but they don't have the character to back it up. So they're continually in some this, that, or the other. There's just always something that they're involved in, but they've got an incredible gift within them. Your gift can take you where your character can't keep you. But for the person that's a Christian, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to build our character. The Holy Spirit can help us to be the type of man, the type of woman that can flow with the gifts that God have placed in our lives so that when we are a witness. Now, let me just ask this. How often do we witness of God in life? All the time. Everybody say all the time. So witnessing, you shall be witnesses unto me. Witness isn't just when we have an on-purpose conversation sharing the Lord with somebody. That's not just during those times and then the other times of our life, you know, we can just do whatever. How many of you know that every day that we live, every hour that goes by, we are being a witness? Good, bad, or indifferent, we are. Would you agree with that? And the thing about that is, let me ask this question. Do we only witness to those that are non-believers? That's good, because some of you are going, I don't know. Is our witness only to non-believers? No. In fact, I'm 52. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was just a young boy. Well over 45 years, I've known the Lord. But you know what? I've had people in my life that have witnessed to me about God my entire life. Right? What is the witness that I'm receiving? There's some people in my life that I watch them, and how they live witnesses to me about who God is. So this thing of being a witness, I just want to encourage you. It's not just being a witness to a non-believer. It's not just being a witness to those people who don't know God. It's just not going on a mission trip and bringing the gospel maybe to a foreign land that has never heard. That could involve that, but it's far more than that. And I think the biggest part of our life is not those types of instances. The biggest part of our life isn't the times that we preach the gospel to a person that needs to know Christ or whatever. That's not the biggest time of our life. The biggest time of our life is when we're just living life and people are watching. That's a scary thought, but it's a true thought. Isn't that right? The houses that we live in as Christian, if we got a cross in front of our life, if we're a Christian, how many of you know, to some degree or other, people are watching us, how we respond in almost every situation. I don't know about you, but man, I just don't like that all the time. Are you there? The example that I gave, I think, last week, I just really wished that nobody else was around when I had a discussion with that New York police officer. But they were, right? I just wished that that wasn't the case, but it is. But here's the thing. I don't have to be stuck. I don't have to be left alone. I have, you have, as a believer, the power of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. God Himself lives on the inside of you. And that then gives me the potential, because how many of you know, I have to be the one that actuates the potential. It's there. He's there. But unless I surrender to Him in those moments when people are watching, you know, maybe somebody's not watching me while I sleep, right? Most of the other time, I've got people watching me. If you have kids, you have people watching you. Dads and moms, we're being witnesses. And I just don't always do that 100% successful. Please, somebody else raise your hand and say, I'm with you, Pastor. Okay, thank you. We talked last week about the Holy Spirit impacting our speech. And what I want to do in this is hopefully, last week and this week, hopefully I can maybe demystify or change our thoughts just a little bit, not change your mind, but just get you to think about some other things about this concept of the power of the Holy Spirit. We tend to think of the power of the Holy Spirit in full gospel circles as somebody that moves in the gifts of the Spirit with great signs and wonders. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit for those things to happen. But that's not the sum total of the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit, in fact, I'll say this. Signs and wonders, even in Scripture, signs and wonders don't happen all the time for one reason. They're not necessary all the time. Are you with me? Now, I know in charismatic full gospel circles, we just want them all the time. But the truth is, the highest way to live is to not ever need a miracle. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. Wouldn't it be better to walk in health to where we didn't need to be raised from the dead? Right? Wouldn't it be better to just have our finances in order that we don't need albino ravens with pink eyeballs to drop money over our house? Right? Wouldn't that really be the best way of living? So the thing is that's not the bulk of life. In fact, that's a small segment of life. But let me just say this. If we're in a spot that there needs to be a sign, there needs to be a wonder, there needs to be a miracle, I just want you to at least jump aboard and say, you know what? He lives in me. I'm here. Use me, God. That's not the bulk of life. And when I talked last week and gave the promise from where Jesus talked about in verse 11 of Mark 13, when they arrest you, deliver you up, don't worry beforehand or premeditate what you speak. Whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it's not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of Luke 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. When we hear that, we tend to put that kind of in one vein. And that vein of don't worry about what you should say, for when you should need to say it, the Holy Spirit will be there. We tend to think about that most often, maybe not always, but most often, we tend to think about that when it comes to sharing our testimony or witnessing to somebody else about Jesus Christ. We tend to think that that's where that power will reside. But I'm just going to tell you, broaden your mind, broaden your perspective, because every day of your life, you are a witness. So what you say to a coworker, how you say it to a coworker, to a spouse, to a child, to a whatever, to a friend, the Holy Spirit of God can give us the power of what to say in those moments just as powerfully as what we may need to say in a situation where we're questioned about this, that, or the other of our faith or whatever it may be. We can depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to affect all of our words. Boy, that went over well. Am I right or wrong? How many situations in marriages would be changed if a husband or wife just said the right thing? How many wedges have been built because somebody said something? Now, when it's out there, we may then apologize and really, really would love to reel those words back in. How many of you know words do damage? That's just how it is. They just do damage. Horrible. Sometimes they do damage that's just, sometimes just It's not reconcilable for whatever reason. So we can depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to impact all of our words. Any of you ever known somebody that was bitter? Or by the laugh, they still may be, right? Bitter or filled with strife and backbiting and unforgiveness, stuff like that. Anybody ever known anybody like that? You know, most of those issues from Scripture, if you read in the Old Testament, is where you're going to find most references to this idea of strife and bitterness. You're going to find it mostly in the Old Testament. Specifically, you'll find it through the writings of Solomon. In the book of Proverbs, you'll find just a ton of information about that. Strife and bitterness and that sort of stuff usually is generated, number one, from words. That old phrase that we used to say maybe on the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What a lie. What a lie. How many of you ever heard words that somebody said, maybe you've forgiven, but somebody said words, and when you even think about those words, it can still produce some of the yuck feelings that it did back whenever you heard those words. Words are powerful. If there's ever something that we need as people, as Christians, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to say the right thing in the right way at the right time. Or we need Holy Ghost lockjaw to just shut up. Right? Turn to your neighbor and look at him and smile and say, but you need to shut up sometimes. Okay, that might be hard getting out of your mouth. All right. Just to lighten up the situation a little bit. But that's true. How many of you know there's times the very best thing you can say is to just breathe. Put a fake smile on your face or something. But there's times, boy, there's times I wished I'd have just shut my mouth. Anybody else with me? Oh, there's times I wish I'd have just shut my mouth. Because it's like, soon as you say those words, it's like, oh, okay, now this is going to take days to unwind, or it's going to take hours to unwind, or it's going to take whatever to explain or whatever. But the thing is let's depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to help us say what should be said at the right time. Because hatred stirs up strife. If you read in the book of Proverbs, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. If I'd have known we'd have had as much time, I would have written them down for us, but I didn't think we'd have had as much time as we did. But hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins, which brings to the next point that we talked last week, and I want to spend some more time on this and flesh out some things. And actually this last week, and just in studying this out, I've seen some things that I've never seen before. It's not great revelation. It's not revelation that'll revolutionize the world or revolutionize your life. Maybe you've seen it before, but I just never seen some ties to this thing. It says, but love covers a multitude of sins. And we talked last week about how the Holy Spirit not only affects our speech, but the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love people for the first time in human history, mankind, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we can love people with the love of God. And so I got looking that up, and I just encourage you maybe on your own to type in, if you have a Bible software program, you know, there's several ways that you can search. And you can type in the word faith, and then with a less than sign, put in and then a greater than sign, put in love. And that'll bring up every verse in the Bible that has faith and love in the same verse, okay? Or you can do that faith and love within one. And it'll bring up every scripture that has faith and love within one verse of each other. You can do faith and love within two or within five or whatever you want to do. And if you do that, what you're going to find is in the Old Testament, you will find no references. Zero reference of faith and love. Zero. But if you do it in the New Testament, you're going to find that faith and love are tied together a lot. And especially the Apostle Paul's writings. And I think it's just really insightful. So if you have your Bibles, go to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. You find that Paul has several references of where he uses the words faith and love together. 1 Corinthians 13, we touched on that last week. We didn't read the chapter, but that's the love chapter. And the famous ending of that chapter talks about now abideth these three. What are they? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay? So we talked about the fact that love, this power to love, is a result of the Holy Spirit, His outpouring in the earth, but then His indwelling in the Christian. We have on the inside of us, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, that the love of God, agape love, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. In other words, every Christian has the capacity or the potential to love with the love of God, but not every Christian loves with the love of God. We have the potential, we have the capacity to do it because the Holy Spirit indwells us, and if He's there, love is there. There's just so many people that have a difficulty, and I understand it, because love and God's love, and then all the love that we're more familiar with, which is reactive love. When people hurt us and people say things about us and people act ugly and this, that, or the other, it's hard to dismiss those actions, isn't it? We would love to all be super spiritual and say, oh no, it's not hard for me at all. But that's a lie, right? It's hard. And so I understand all the crud that goes with it, but listen, there's not a person in here, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, there's not a person in here that doesn't have the capacity to love. Every one of us do. And I just encourage you, maybe meditate on that. If that's hard, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, if there's bitterness in your heart, if there's strife in your heart, I want to encourage you, get it out. Get it out. And you can. Pastor, I can't. You don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. It's like, you're right, I don't. But He does, and I do know this. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, and that's either true or it's a lie. And if it's true, that means then we can grow and we can love with the love of God. We do not have to hold on to those things that we've heard, those things that were done, those things that were ugly. We do not have to hold on to that if we don't want to. And I know you all say, well, I don't want to, but we still do, right? Let's look at this, though. We are bound to, did I tell you where I was? 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Now, as I started looking through this past week, I've never seen that tie ever before in the same way. Look at that. Your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds. There's a tie there, right? Look at that. Your love abounds, your faith grows. Your faith grows, your love abounds. There really is a tie. In fact, if you just go through, let me just read some other scriptures and then we'll comment. Ephesians 1:15, and I just pulled a few. There's several. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So guess what? We cannot be bitter, holding a grudge, allowing unforgiveness, strife, and have strong faith. Can't happen. It just can't happen. But what if we will depend upon the Holy Spirit, His power in our life to love others, that sets the stage for our faith to grow. And it's that order, growing in love, then growing in faith. And I'll tell you why. Because Galatians 5, verse 5, I think the last half of verse 5 says, faith works by love. In other words, the mix, the underlying ingredient. How many of you know you can't have, now nobody bring up an exception to me, just run with the analogy. You can't have wine without grapes. Okay, I know you can have apricot wine, I know you can have peach wine, but primarily when you think of wine, you think of what? Grapes. What are grapes to wine? Grapes are the foundation to it. If you don't have it, you're not going to have this drink called wine. We're not going to have strong faith and have no love. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to have strong faith that can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one if we're continually not walking in love. It just can't happen. It's a misnomer. But it is amazing how many times I've come across over the years people who feel like they are right or they're valid in what somebody did to them, said to them, how they messed in their world, that they're all right to hang on to that and then honestly believe that they can have strong faith or they can have a strong walk in God. The truth of the matter is, guys, it can't happen. We cannot have strong faith and weak love. We just can't. We can have strong feelings for God. We can love the old hymns. We can love the great, famous verses throughout the Bible. We can have a love for the church culture. We can love to worship God in our singing and all of that. But listen, if we entertain and allow strife, bitterness, unforgiveness, those things that are opposite of the love of God, if we allow those in our life, the truth of the matter is we cannot have a strong walk in God because our faith cannot grow because faith works by love. Now just think about the ramifications. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. When I was 23, Drett and I spent our first trip, married trip together. I was going to say to a foreign land, but that's true. It would be our second foreign trip because we moved from the United States to Canada. We served in Nova Scotia for a while, so I guess that was our first foreign trip together as a married couple. But we went to Holland and we spent 21 days in Holland. And that's where I met Robert Mosbach. And Robert had just been married just a couple weeks, I think. Isn't that right? When we got there. And so while I was there, I spoke at the main church of Johann Mosbach Ministries. And the main church was in The Hague, Den Haag. It was my first foreign trip. I had to speak with an interpreter and, da, 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 da. And I'll never forget, the culture that I grew up in, if you had a healing line or something like that, it wouldn't have been uncommon for you to, when you got ready to pray for somebody, to lay hands on them, to maybe ask them to raise their hands, right? Well, this particular meeting, there's two things that I can remember about this meeting. The first one is I'll never forget the lady. She had long hair. I had this line up front of this church, and there was probably, 30 to 50 people in this healing line. So I'm reverting back to the only thing that I knew growing up. And so I asked this lady to raise her hands, to which, as soon as she raised her hands, I realized that European women do not shave their armpits. So that's one of the things that I remember. And I saw this lady's big old rose bushes underneath her arms, and I went, oh my gosh, that is ugly. So I said, ma'am, put your hands down. I never ask another woman in Europe to ever raise their hands. I'm like, I'm not going there. Because it's like she raised her hands and willied me out huge. Anyhow. Okay, so I don't remember anything about praying for. I just remember her armpits, how ugly they were. I'm like, oh. Anyhow. Get that picture out of my mind. It's like, why did I do that? But anyhow, the next one, though, made such a huge impact on me. I've never forgot it. If I saw this lady today, I'd recognize her, as long as she hasn't aged. She's probably dead by now. But this lady, I get to this healing line, and I kind of go down this healing line, and I'm praying for people. And I get to this lady, and I'm going to guess that she was in her mid-60s, maybe upwards of 70. A very well-dressed lady. I wouldn't say necessarily a rich lady, but a very well-dressed lady. And she was dressed in a lady of her era. And right as I got ready to lay my hands on her, I just felt the impression of the Holy Spirit to not. And so I just hesitated. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say this: ask her if she's ready to forgive that person. So that would have been one of the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically a word of knowledge, which is information about something present or in the past that you would have no knowledge in and of yourself of, that it was simply revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So when I say revealed, I don't, you know, it wasn't this great big, you know, anything. I just inside, I just felt I needed to ask her if she was ready to forgive this person before I laid my hands on her. So I'd ask her right when she'd come up, you know, that she had a physical deal that had been with her for years, many, many years. And she just wanted healing. So I just said, ma'am, I just, before I pray for you, I didn't deliver it charismatic culture style. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. I'll ask her. I didn't do that. Didn't set it up for this big awkward moment. I just said, ma'am, before I pray for you, I just have a question for you. I didn't say, you know, thus saith the Lord. Nothing. I said, are you ready to forgive that person in your life? Oh my gosh. This very nice lady, she was probably about 5 foot three or 5 foot four, clenched her jaws and her muscles, her mandible muscles went out, and she said, who told you? I said, ma'am, I don't know you from Adam. Nobody's told me anything. She said, I will not. And she folded her arms. To which I responded, I said, do you realize that that's withholding God moving in your life? I said, you don't want to turn loose of that bitterness, that unforgiveness? She said, I will not. I said, fine then. I won't pray for you. And I went on. She went and sat down. Broke my heart. And I thought, boy, there must have been something huge happened to her. Don't have a clue what it was. But how many of you know there does come a time? Now here's the sad thing for me, for that lady's sake, for her heart. I wonder how many times she came forward to get healed. How many times in her own prayer life, how many sermons had she heard that she agreed with, but refused, for whatever reason, but refused to turn loose of something that hurt her deeply? I could say it this way. She had within her, as a Christian, she had within her the capacity to forgive. Did she not? Of course she did. She had the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of her. The capacity to forgive isn't based upon how strong you are. It's based upon how strong He is and how submitted we are. So maybe it's difficult. Maybe you're the type of person that you get hurt easily. That offense just kind of like Velcro to you. It just catches you and you grab it. Okay, that's something to start working on. But even if that's you, that you just kind of wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve and people can just look at you wrong and you get offended by how they look at you or how they don't look at you, or they said this or they shouldn't have said that. They should have come over here. They shouldn't have done this. They should have, you know, whatever. It's not your ability, ultimately, is not based upon just your own constitutional makeup on the inside. How many of you know, for the Christian, we've got the God of the universe on the inside of us. And if we'll submit to His power, how many of you know, He can enable us and help us to forgive and help us to turn loose and all of that. And I just have always wondered over the years, did she ever turn loose of that? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I'll say this. If she didn't, she may have considered herself a strong Christian, but she just had deceived herself all those years. Because you cannot be strong in your walk with God and walk out of love. Amen? It's crazy. I know things that happen in our lives. You know, people that have atrocities happen to them. Rape victims. Abuse victims. Things like that. I tell you, my heart just hurts like you can't imagine for the hurdle that they have before them to overcome. But I would tell everyone who's had horrible things happen to them, as a Christian, encourage yourself. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And he can give us the power. Do you ever, any of you ever remember a lady by the name, I think Robert mentioned it when he was here on Wednesday night, Corrie ten Boom. Did you, any of you ever read The Hiding Place? Well, I had the, oh, when I was young, that all came out in the early 70s. And I've read every book that Corrie ten Boom has ever written. I've read books that people have written about Corrie ten Boom, every one of them. I just think that little, well, she wasn't a little lady, but I think that lady was just quite an incredible lady. I've privileged to hear her speak several times. And for those of you who read The Hiding Place, do you remember when she went into her shop and looked down an alley at night and the kid saw her and then turned her in? Do you remember that in that book? I spoke at her building. That building is in the care of Johann Mosbach, and that watch place is still intact. Obviously, it's kind of more of a museum now than anything else. In other words, it's not a working shop, but they have a church in the upstairs where all of the stuff took place. And I spoke there. I spoke in the upstairs, and then Robert's dad asked if I would pastor that church. I thought of all the churches, you would ask me to pastor the one of a lady that, you know, that had so much history. But I purposely looked down there and I asked him, I said, now, is this the street? And I said, that's the street. And I tell you, I stood there and cried like a baby because that door that she looked down, and I forget the name of that kid that saw her and turned her in. I looked down that street and boy, I tell you, it was a trip and a half. But Corrie ten Boom was speaking in a place in, I forget where it was, but I think it was in a place that she would have you'd have never believed that these two people could be in the same place, you know, in their history. So she was speaking at a place and sharing her testimony and all of that. And at the end, she had people come forward that wanted to give their heart to Christ. And this man stood before her. And the man that stood before her was one of the SS officers that was in her concentration camp that killed her dad, killed her sister, and that was there, and he came forward and asked her to forgive her. And I heard her tell this story, and, you know, by the time she got done telling the story, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, but I thought, what a person. Now, here's the interesting thing. Most full gospel, Corrie was not a full gospel person in terms of she wasn't charismatic in a denominational sort of a sense, but and most full gospel charismatic people wouldn't have looked at that story and think, wow, that was the power of the Holy Spirit in demonstration. But I look at that story and thinking that was the power of the Holy Spirit for that lady to look at that person, and she embraced him. She said she fell on his neck. He fell on her neck, and they cried. And she said it was just, she was surprised at how there was a joy on the inside of her. It was one of the most joyful things for her to say. Absolutely, I forgive you. You're my brother in Christ. And I thought, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And soon as the guy revealed who he was, she said she instantly remembered exactly who he was. And I just thought, that's the power of the Holy Spirit in operation right there. Totally helping her do something that in the natural is not natural at all. Right? You would want to exact revenge. You would at least, and if anybody would have maybe had a right to hang on to something, I mean, that would have been, probably nobody would have held much, very much against her. But you know what? As a Christian, we don't have we're not afforded the privilege of being able to hang on to those things. Why? Because we're to be a witness. Right? We're to be a witness. When Jesus went through all of his stuff, here's what's interesting. I was just reading this from my own devotionals. But when Jesus was accused in all manner of things, especially when it came down to the last few days of his life, do you think that any of the accusations that some of the religious leaders and Pilate and all those made against him, do you think he would have had the want to retort back and say, oh no, you listen to me, let me set you straight? Do you think there was that in him at all? I think there was, because he was a human. But one of the things that I think is powerful, now Jesus had the Holy Spirit, as we know in Scripture, without measure. So I think that Jesus tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit to keep silent. That he was a lamb that was dumb before the shearer. How many of you know he could have set them all straight? Now, let me tell you what reality is, Bubba. Right? But he didn't. He kept his mouth shut. Which caused him to do what? To be a witness. Right? And we need that. We need to tap into that power of God to love and to speak or not speak. I just think we need to entertain guys. That's just as powerful as signs and wonders. Okay? Let's be open for signs and wonders. If you're there, man, let's be open for whatever. Drett and I were driving to Boise 3 years ago. And just as you come over that last hill into Glenn's Ferry, we're driving along and there's a Ford Taurus that was in the passing lane. And we're, maybe from here to the sound booth, maybe a little bit further, that car was ahead of us. All of a sudden that car just was in the passing lane, just kept going. And I'm like, what are they doing? Kept going. Went off the ditch and then just flipped and just rolled. I got my car stopped, jumped out, ran over there, threw two people out, jumped out and ran over there. And while I'm running, I'm praying. Okay, God, I told the Lord this. I do it every time. Father, use me to do whatever you want to do here in this situation. Boy, it was a car of young Hispanic folks, a husband and a wife, and two brothers, I think, in the back. And, oh boy, it was not a pretty scene. Other people stopped, and when they first walk up, I'm just praying for them. I'm laying my hands on whoever I can get my hands on. I pulled one of the girls out of the back window. I was afraid that the wheels were still turning. I was afraid that the car would maybe ignite the gas tank. I kicked out the back window and pulled this gal out, just hoping there wasn't neck injuries and all that. But you know what? Let's be ready for signs and wonders. Let's be ready to lay our hands on folks or whatever it may be. But let's also be ready that just in normal everyday life, God help me say what I need to say. And when we want to react, let's just stop. We don't have to make it a big deal, but let's just hesitate inside. Say, Spirit of God, I need you to help me say the right thing now at the right time and in the right way. And guys, if we can flow in that, that's just as powerful as flowing in anything else that we might look to as well. Amen? Okay, let's bow our head and close our eyes.
This podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.